Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. I want to talk about the God for all seasons, the God for all seasons. He's a God, the God for all seasons. Here's what you're going to discover when you read Psalm 37, and I do want to encourage you to read Psalm 37. I'd like you to read Psalm 37, for you to read it. You can read it in the King James Version, NIV, and I'd like you to read Psalm 37. And here's what you're going to see in Psalm 37. You're going to see three groups of individuals. You're going to see a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. So you're going to see some folk who are on the other side. They don't know the Lord. They're wicked. They're not saved. Secondly, you're going to see some people, or a reference to individuals, who are saved, who are walking with God. And then you're going to see another group of people, and you got to look real close, but they're there. You're going to see a group of people that are walking with God, but they're frustrated and angry. Come here. There's three of them in this text, three of them in this psalm. There's one group, they don't know the Lord, ain't studying the Lord. Number two, there are some believers that are trusting the Lord. And thirdly, there are some believers, but they're frustrated, confused, on the verge of cussing, because the Lord seems to be blessing the wicked folk and leaving them behind. It's as if they are complaining against God. And I would suggest to you that if somebody talks about you, that's one thing. But remember, when we were little, you can talk about me because my head is big. I've come to grips with that. When I was little, I had to come to grips with the fact that, yes, my nose is wide. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm not Michael Jackson, don't have money for surgery. So I learned to accept the fact that you can talk about me, but if you say anything about my mama, my mama's nose is wide, but you can't say nothing about it. Because if you cross that line, it's going to be some trouble up in here. Some people have crossed the line and have made some false accusations about God. And when that happens, when somebody says something about God that ain't true, or something about God that they don't understand, somebody ought to say something. And David decides that he's going to say something in defense of people who are saying that God is blessing the wicked and is leaving them behind. And so Psalm 37 is a response. It's a response. When you read commentaries, you're going to discover it's not necessarily in order. It's a song, and these are verses, these are stanzas. It's not in any particular order, but all of them are written. It's written to Psalm 37. It's written by David, and I wanted to lift up the 25th verse Because in the 25th verse, it seems to summarize a lot of what David really wants to say about the God that he serves. And he mentions two particular areas or seasons. He mentions a period in his life where he was young, and he mentions a period in his life where he's old. Listen to what he says. He said, I was young. And then he says, but now I'm old. And it says, and then he goes on to make this statement. He says, and I've never, from the time that I was young, even to now, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen their seed begging bread. Let me explain. I got two things I got to explain real quick. The first one that I need to share with you is that he uses the word righteous. And when he uses the word righteous, righteousness has to do with the right standing with God. And when people exercise faith in the Old Testament, God would take their faith as righteousness, and he would declare them as righteousness. Now, let me explain something. When a person is declared righteous, that doesn't mean that they're perfect. It means that they are aware of God, they're operating in the will of God, and they're striving to be blameless in their conduct as they walk with God, exercising faith in him. In other words, they're trying to roll according to the standards that God had set. Let me see if I can explain it like this. One of the nicest cars I've ever owned was a 99 Lexus 400. I really enjoyed that car. It was a gift from the church. That was one reason I enjoyed it. Second reason I enjoyed it is because Lexus, they always talk about the pursuit of perfection. And that car, I could drive it with a finger. When I had good tires on it, and it was aligned properly, you could be rolling down the road, and if you took your hands off of it, it'll keep going straight because the tires were good, and the alignment was good. It was aligned right, and it would keep moving in the direction without much effort at all. It was just a really, really. But in this life, not every road is smooth. In Evansville, you got some rough railroad tracks sometimes. Y'all notice they moved one right over here, 41 in Virginia. Been victim to many a tire. But in this life, when you hit some chug holes, sometimes it'll knock you. It can knock your vehicle out of alignment so that you gotta be careful. You can't be texting and driving. We shouldn't do it no way. You can't be smoking and driving, shouldn't do it no way. Shouldn't be eating your lunch, trying to drive, shouldn't do that no way. Should have got up early or wait till you get parked, put your makeup on. Because people will take their hands off the vehicle, but when the vehicle is out of line, you gotta hold it with a strong hand. Otherwise, you could end up in danger. All I'm really trying to say is that the people of God strive to roll in alignment with God's word, will, and way without going all over the place. Because there is a standard that God has set. There's a way that he wants us to conduct and carry our lives. And even though he declares us righteous, there's a responsibility that goes along with it, because that doesn't mean that we can live any old kind of way. And David uses the word, I've seen how God responds to the righteous. Then David says, he says, I was young and now I'm old, which really implies that he knew something about God when he was young. Now that's what really excited me about this text, not just the fact that I've crossed over into the 60 club, but it excited me about the fact that David is looking back to the time he was young, and it's evident he knew something about God when he was young. And what he knew about God then, he builds on to where he is now. I want to talk about, I really believe that David is expressing two particular seasons. He talks about being young, he talks about being old, but there's more than two seasons that you and I got to deal with. I'll lift up three seasons and get on out of your way. Here's the first season. The first season that you and I have faced is the season where we are somebody else's responsibility. There's a season when we are somebody else's responsibility. We're young and we are dependent upon parents, and they have a responsibility to do some things on our behalf. That first season, I'm somebody else's responsibility. My prayer is that every parent would do at least three things for their children. One, teach them that God is real. He's real. He's real. They need to know that he is real. They need to know that the God that you can't see is real, even though you can't see him. And they need to know that this real God wants a real personal relationship with you. We need to make sure that we teach children that God is real, that he wants a relationship with you. This relationship comes as a result of responding by faith to what he did in Jesus Christ. The relationship doesn't happen because you come to a building. Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter, or funeral. It happens as a result of an individual making a conscious choice to believe that God sent his son, and his son died for our sins, and then God raised him from the dead. And receiving, confessing that by faith, then brings us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, not only does it bring us into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but God looks at us, and there's other scriptures, there's other words that reflect that we are then redeemed. The idea is that we were lost, but God did something to redeem us, to get us back. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God purchased us, redeemed us back into his family. I'm praying that in season one, every child, you need to know that God is real. You need to know that he wants a relationship with you. Secondly, you need to know that there is a responsibility that goes with the relationship. He's real, but now that I've trusted him, I have a responsibility to him. Here's how the writer wrote it in Ecclesiastes. He said, I can boil it all down to this. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. So God, we in this first season, I need to know that God is real. I need to know what my responsibility is to him. I watched my grandmama. I grew up in the first few years of my life. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. And in that house, there were certain times where you didn't run, you ain't make no noise, and you didn't call her name twice. And that was usually somewhere late in the evening. I'd hear her tell Granddaddy, because they had two separate rooms, and she would tell Granddaddy, "I'm turning in." And then, and I had a bed in her room when I was little, and I'd oftentimes dash through the door. And I learned real quick, if I saw her on her knees, you better do a Flintstone skirt. Cause she was, it didn't matter. Cause she was talking to the Lord. Sometime I call her name before I got in the room, but she adjusted my conduct real quick. When you see me talking to the Lord, don't call my name, don't ask me nothing, be quiet until I'm through. I'll never forget it. And sometime I'd overhear her talking to him. And she'd say things like, "God, I need you. I can't make it without you." Every now and then I'd hear her call some names, because I'd have some uncles who was out in town trying to party hard. And I had a cousin that was in jail because he was running with the wrong crowd and robbing banks. And I'd hear her call folks' name. And I wondered how long I wondered how long she was going to talk to him. But here's what I learned. I learned that there is a responsibility that we got to learn how to take time to talk to God. And then we got to be quiet long enough to let him talk back to us. Now, here's how the responsibility flows. After you spend some time talking to God, and then God talk back to you, then you ought to spend some time talking about God, about what y'all talked about. Now, some of that's personal, but there's some other things that you ought to tell, because there's some other folk that don't know the God you know and don't know what he can do. You got to learn in that first season that God is real. It's important to learn that we have a responsibility to engage in this relationship. And then finally, we got to learn to rely on God. We ought to learn to rely on God. We ought to learn that you can depend on him every day and in all things. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, it's good to know that you can rely on God. I want to pause right here a moment, because I want you to take a moment and think back, and if you were blessed with some parents or grandparents or somebody grown that embraced the responsibility of making sure that you understood that God was real, that you have a responsibility to him, and that he's a God you can rely on, you ought to pause right here and tell God, thank you. Thank you for a parent that made me and helped me to understand that God is real, that I have a responsibility. My parents weren't perfect, but they did let me know God is real and that I have a responsibility. They didn't have a whole lot of money, but they did know this. They taught me that God is real. They taught me that I have a personal responsibility in this relationship, and they told me that I can rely on him. That season 1, when David was young, his father, Jesse, taught him some things. There's some things he understood about God. That's season 1. I was young. Now, season 2 is a little different. In season 2, Season two moves a little different because in season two, that's the time that you go from a child to a time where it's a time where you've got to learn to stand and to walk on your own. Mm-hmm. Kyla, it's in just a few days. It won't be long. Your mama got plans for your room. It won't be long. You're going to have to stand and you're going to have to walk on your own. I've been there, done that. Here's what happens. When we reach a point as young adults where it's now time for us to stand and walk on our own, here's what you'll see happened in David's life. And what happened in David's life is the same thing that's going to happen that has happened in yours and mine. In the midst of all of that, you'll see times where he's serving. You see it in David's life. He served his father. He served Saul. You'll see him serving. There's another time where you'll see David stumbling. Mm-hmm. And then there are times you'll see him suffering. And sometimes he was suffering because of his stumbling. Because when you let go of the rock and throw it in the pond, you don't know how long and how far the weights are gonna go. And it doesn't matter that you say, "Oops, I'm sorry." Sometimes once you've crossed that line, once you cross that line, the consequences are on the way. We get to make the choice, but we don't get to pick the consequences. He's learning to stand and walk on his own, but here's what you go through. Sometimes you're serving, sometimes you're stumbling, sometimes you're suffering. There's also times where you're celebrating. But in the midst of all of that, I got some good news. In the midst of all of that, all you got to do is reflect back on the first season. Because in the first season, you remember what you learned? God is real. Remember what you learned? I have a responsibility to him. Now, here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest that while you're trying to serve God and walk with God, and sometimes you're going to stumble, sometimes you're going to fall, sometimes you're going to be in the midst of suffering, here's what I want to suggest to you. Don't run from God. Don't run from him. Don't try to play hide and seek with him. David wrote a psalm about that. He said, "I went to the mountain trying to hide, and he was up there. Went to the valley, he was there. Went and found myself a cave, and guess what? He was in there. Where can I go? Where can I flee from his presence?" What you do in season two is the same thing you learned in season one. You reflect that God is real. I have a responsibility to him. And here's the other part. You can rely on him to do what? What? Here? What? What? Here's what you can rely on him to do. When you're struggling, won't he hold you? When you fall, won't he catch you? When you're down, won't he lift you? You can rely on God. You can rely on him. You can rely on him. See, this situation is kind of like algebra. You don't start in algebra 3. There's this thing called intro to algebra. But before you even get there, you got to learn how to subtract, multiply, divide. And if you get those straight, then you can move to intro. From intro to one, from one to two, from two to three, and you might throw some geometry trig or something like that, and before you know it, you doing some calculus and all that kind of stuff. And it was so funny. I was sitting at the picnic table with one of my beloved families, and one of the daughters, she is in her second year of college, and she was talking about some of the classes that and the finals she was going to have. And I always wanted to ask somebody. I hear the word, but I absolutely know nothing about it because they don't use numbers. And how are you gonna do math without numbers? And so I asked her, tell me what really is calculus all about? And when I said that, her eyes lit up, and she started rattling off some things because you need to know the slope of some stuff. And I knew right then I was over my head, and she could tell that I wasn't getting it, so she pulled out her phone and went, she had this app and just had a blank page, and so she started drawing lines and telling me, sometimes you're going to need to know what the fall rate is from this point to that point, and then sometimes, and she went on, and she was just writing it out with her fingers. She said, she looked at me, and she said, it's fun, ain't it? I about had smoke coming out of my ears. And then she said, and calculus 2 is even better. I changed the conversation. But she was so excited. But she didn't start there. She started at one level, but she kept on building. And she came to a point where she was excited to talk about her experience. Here we are, let me wrap this thing up. Here we go, we're gonna get out early today. Season 1, I'm somebody else's responsibility. What do I need to know? He's real. What do I need to know? I have a responsibility to God. What do I need to know? I can rely on God. Season 2, what am I doing? You got it, Iresi. I'm learning to stand and walk on my own. Will I get everything right? No. Will I stumble sometime? Yes. Will I fall sometime? Uh-huh. Will I feel defeated sometimes? That's right. But what do you know? You know that you can rely on God. You know that He's a God who will forgive, teach, instruct. He'll work some things for your good as you operate in his will. Season 1, I'm somebody else's responsibility. Season 2, I got to stand on my own. Then season 3. Bobby, what about season 3? I tell you what season 3 is. Season 3 is where you're looking for some place to sit down. You know what I've been finding that about everywhere I go, it ain't too long, I'm looking for a place to I'm trying to find a place to sit down. And I didn't say stop working, but I am, sooner or later I'm going to sit down. I love Glenn is one of my favorite guys. Me and Glenn been friends for a long time. And Glenn, everybody know the Sterling's Men's Club, they do amazing things for children, scholarships and all that kind of stuff. And there's a young crew, they got a young crew, and then they got an old crew. And the young crew, they're always in the back, they got goggles, because it's smoky back there when they making them pork steaks and all that kind of stuff, and I'm trying to get out of here without making y'all hungry, but you know I can't preach without talking about food or the farm. I don't know nothing else. But everybody know where Glenn gonna be. Glenn gonna be at the table, if you're facing on the left-hand side, he gonna be taking the orders and the money. And if you go there at 11 o'clock, and if you go there at 2 o'clock, he's going to be doing the same thing, sitting down. He's going to have a smile on his face. You want one or two, or you want both. But he ain't stopped working. He just He's just sitting down. Because there comes a point where you know what you can do, and you know what you can't do, and you know what you don't want to do no more. Listen to what David says. David said, I was young, but now I'm old. He writes this when he's older. He's been through some things. He knows some stuff. And he says, I was young, but I am old. And then he does something like this. He looks back over his life, and he says to the people who are complaining, he says to the people who are frustrated, he says to the people that are about to throw in the towel and say something bad about God, he said,